I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready. Gather round your radio now for Uzi and Aaron.
There's a lot. Aaron has been lying to her BF.
I haven't been lying. There are two incorrect parts of that statement. And the first is I have not been lying.
Do you love her?
I didn't lie.
Is there a song?
I just...
Lying.
Hello, my lover, not
is there a song
my friend.
Lying to your lover?
There should be. Someone called Knowlesy.
Absolutely.
But not Knowlesy. But you've been lying to him.
I haven't been lying. I did something incredible that I've never really done before, but I just needed a bit of help with one part of it, and I haven't fully told him the help that I used.
This is really early to ask this question. We're going to ask it. After what you did for him, did you then receive joy, if you know what I mean? I imagine you would.
No, I don't know
you
what you
probably
mean.
Did.
Please explain.
After
Did we talk?
No, you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Afterwards.
Did we dance?
Did you dance the horizontal dance? Probably did. They would have, wouldn't they?
I don't want any part of this.
They would have. And then you've got that after lying to him.
If you think I need to do stuff to get that, then you're a sad, sad man.
Well, I'm just saying that he didn't know. And then you know what? Yeah, we're all drawing the dots there.
Didn't realize that that's how it works in your household. It's an exchange of services.
No, but I'm saying if you do something nice for him, then he does something nice for you, and then, you know, but what he did nice for you was based on a lie of what you did for him.
Well, you can't take it back, can you?
No, you can't. You haven't got a time machine.
Yes,
sir. Hey, on the subject of what's real or what isn't, are we going to come back with a hot topic?
Yeah.
Seeing that tomorrow's December 1.
It is the most controversial Christmas debate there is.
Ed and Aaron.
Look, Aaron, you're all in on fake Christmas trees because you think real Christmas trees are too much of a hassle. And we've also there's a shortage because of the El Nino.
Yeah.
Yeah, floods and stuff.
But you need to hear Justin's story. Justin from Cronulla. Justin.
Hey, how you going, guys?
What's your best memory of Christmas?
Mate, we used to always go out to Londonderry and chop them down as a family each year. But now, because of the Badgery Creek Airport, they had to remove all those Christmas tree farms.
Yeah, so you would go down out in the wild, as you should, as a family, with an axe, and chop a little tree down and bring it home and put it in your lounge room and enjoy Christmas.
That's it. Sometimes they wouldn't be little. Yeah, it was honestly the best experience. And now we have to drive in a city and pick them up and not cut them down.
Can I just say, I've got a very similar memory, and that was the best part of my childhood, was going with my father with his axe into the bush and him chopping down a tree. You know, and
we did it as well. It was great fun. Yeah, Dad used to take us in and they'd have kind of the allocated ones. And then if you went further in, you could get some bigger ones. It was great, beautiful.
No, we're not talking about going somewhere where it's like a fish farm. We're going we're into the bush.
Oh, okay.
Justin, you're in the bush, aren't you? This is not where you're meant to go, is it? Or this is just out in the wild, isn't it?
No. So they had farms.
Oh,
yeah, that's where we went to the farm.
Christmas tree farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there used to be Christmas trees farms out at Londonderry.
All right, this is before your time then, Justin.
Is your dad bringing home marijuana plants?
No, we didn't have Christmas tree farms back in the 70s, mate. We had forests, actual forests.
Sounds good. Adam from Penrith, real or fake?
It's got to be fake. And good morning, guys. I think it's, here's the other Aaron. Good morning. I had a fake one. I've always had a fake one. Reason being, my kids don't like bugs, and if you've got a real one, then you might be getting spiders and all that kind of stuff.
Because you're a sweet man. What a dad who actually cares about what his kids like.
No, Adam, those children need to grow up. This is a nanny state, and you're protecting them too much because, mate, the world is full of bugs.
Yeah, you should get redback spiders and just release it into their cots. Yeah, mollycoddling them, you.
Well, that is...
It's one all. Let's go to Connie from Ashfield. Real or fake, Connie?
Real all the way.
Thank you, Connie. What do you love most about it?
The fragrance.
Yes.
The freshness.
The
it
smell.
Makes you feel like you're out in the open country air. And because my godmother owns the Christmas tree farm, so they've been supplying Christmas trees statewide, you know, local, everywhere, like all our beautiful stores. But at the moment, it's just been so hard because of everything that's been going on. Get your, so if you can get a Christmas tree, you know, like fresh Christmas tree, go for it, because it's, these days it's just really hard. And they're only local too. They're in Abbotsford on Great North Road, Molino's Christmas Trees. So they've been supplying everyone for many, many years.
Molino's Christmas Trees.
In Abbotsford.
We should find one for someone.
Okay, we'll ring up Molino's in Abbotsford.
Yeah, we're going to, by the end of the week, we're going to be giving away at least one Christmas tree. So I think we should do that. I'll do it out of my own pocket. I don't care.
How much do they cost? Like, what would a big, real Christmas tree cost?
Do you know how much they cost, Connie? You get them for free, I suppose. Oh, mates rates, at least. You get.
God, depending. It all depends on the sizes, too, you know. So, I don't know, they could start from, like the small ones from 50 to up to 120, 108, depending how many, you know, like, feet you want the tree.
All right, we're going to get $120 or $120 Christmas tree.
All right, Molino's in Abbotsford, we're coming for you. Real Christmas tree. How about this? 80% of people say, real tree, please.
Thank you.
He's had a win.
Yeah, another win.
$50 from Swish.
That, we'll put that one in the win column. Hughie, Ed and Erin. You know what? You generally, you watch the news, it's bad. But every now and again, Erin, you watch the news and it's an amazing story. And the one happened last night with Peter Overton.
More than 30,000 COVID fines issued to people outside their area or gathering in groups have been declared invalid and scrapped by the state government.
Why were they scrapped? Because one man took a stand. One legend.
And that legend, it goes by the name Rowan Pank, and he joins us on the line.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Not as good as you, mate. You deserve a statue out the front of the police headquarters.
Look, it wasn't just me. I have to emphasise there were a lot of lawyers and barristers working on this. I'm just one part of a bigger machine.
No, mate.
Why did you decide to fight it?
I think just when I got the fine, it just felt so ridiculous. I thought, there can't be any way I can be fined $1,000 for sitting in a park.
Mate, ridiculous is the word for the whole COVID reaction, especially all those fines, with the police overreaching. Not their fault, the government made them do it. So you were just sitting in a park one day. Is that what happened that day?
Yeah. So I was with my girlfriend just sitting in the park. I guess you had that relationship bubble kind of thing. So we were allowed to be sitting there. We weren't sitting near anyone else. My understanding was you could sit in the park for recreation, and a group of officers basically came up and issued us with an on-the-spot $1,000 fine.
So what did they say? What did they say the fine was for at the time?
At the time, it was because we weren't, like, actively exercising. So because at that moment we were sitting down, that's the fine.
And did you arc up at the time and go, come on, guys, what are you doing? I mean, go catch some real criminals. What did you say at the time? Did you give them a bit of attitude?
Oh, no. Like, you don't want to suddenly end up with a $3,000 fine because you give them a bit of attitude. But
or get bashed. I mean, that's possible.
No, they don't do that.
Have you seen the body slams that have been going on?
That's
that was some unbelievable headlock body slam situations.
Yeah,
so were they embarrassed to give you the fine? What was their attitude at the time?
No, I don't think I got much reaction from them. it was a warm day and we followed them around for a little bit and they seemed to just be going after as many people as they could. I just figured it was like some sort of revenue raising thing.
But so did you call up a legal firm? How did you get involved in this?
Yeah, so I didn't pay the fine and I kept getting enforcement orders and letters in the mail reminding me to do it, and my driver's license almost got cancelled. So I contacted the Redfern Legal Centre because I'd seen them in the news a lot working on similar issues, and they turned out they were working on this Supreme Court case, and they asked me if I wanted to be one of the plaintiffs involved.
Yeah, and you said yes, and you went to court. Did you have to say anything in court?
No, so basically they had all our information already, and the main crux of the case was that the fines didn't actually specify what we'd done. So I'd received all these letters in the mail, and it was impossible to even challenge it because after the event, they wouldn't even tell me what I'd supposedly done, what offence I'd actually committed.
It's just bizarre that people that, particularly people who are fairly experienced in how the law works and legislation and from a parliament police perspective, that they did something that they should have realised just was completely redundant, that would have been overturned so quickly.
Yeah, I guess it took people to actually challenge it, you know, to get that far. It's crazy that I had to go to the Supreme Court just to get this fixed, but I'm glad it's had a good result for thousands of people.
Mate, the world lost its mind. There's no doubt about it. And now, may it never happen again.
So, if can I just say on that, I actually, at the time, like I do feel sorry for a lot of our leaders because at the time we're looking at, you know, morgues being set up in Central Park. Like I am sympathetic to the way that it was handled and some of the measures that were stricter. And at the time I really bought into them. Like I was genuinely worried for my daughter, looking at hospitals over in Europe where people would die. Like it was actually, there was a lot of fear at that time. And it, yeah, so I am also empathetic to the way that it was handled. I don't think we got it right. We certainly didn't, but I have empathy for people who had to make decisions given everything else that was going on.
Well, I don't.
Well, if you're one of the people, thank you, Rowan. If you're one of the people that got one of the 33,000 people that got the fine, then you better check it out, honestly.
Hughesy, Ed and Erin.
So a sad day in the Hughes house today. A big moment for us. We had a cat, Teddy, who we've loved since 2000 and started 2007, actually. So.
Wow.
Teddy has been with us. So he was born in 2006. He was a rescue cat.
Yep.
We got him from an organization that, rescues cats. So we gave him a life. And we've enjoyed our time with Teddy over the last 16 years. And
so you had Teddy before you had your own kids?
Yeah, absolutely. Teddy was our first, me and my wife Holly's first nurturing creature.
Mm.
We used to, I remember we took him to the beach once and it was a hot day and he gave us a look like never do that again. Yes. So we never did.
No.
We, what else did we do? I remember when he first got lost, he was like, where's Teddy? And then we found Teddy. He's like,
where?
He was down. I remember I once found Teddy in a drain, actually.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so I remember that.
Teddy would take off for a few days. Like, where the hell is Teddy? Found him in a drain. So, yep, saved Teddy that day. But in the last week, he's looked really unwell, and we took him to the vet, and the vet said that he's got an ulcer in his mouth that is probably cancer and that he's in pain. And as a 16-year-old cat, the vet reckons he's nothing that really can be done for him. So today is going to be Teddy's last day on this earth, and we are going to celebrate Teddy's life, his beautiful life. And I think of this song when I think of Teddy. I hope you had the time of your life.
I hope you had the time of your life.
I think Teddy has had the time of his life.
I think any animal that has lived in your home with your family would have had the time of its life. Over the many, many years, you genuinely have just, you love your animals more than life itself, and they've been on a real journey, and they're very blessed. They're very blessed animals and very loved.
They've had the run of the house indoors and out. So, so Teddy often sleeps on our bed. And, in the last few weeks, Teddy has been more affectionate. He's, looked at me while I've been on the couch, and he's gone, goodness. Pick me up, you asshole. And so I picked him up and sat him beside me. And he's, so in the last couple of weeks, he's got more affectionate again. Maybe Teddy knew that his time was coming.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But we had we've made the decision that we want Teddy's last moments to be at home.
It's nice.
And so we've cancelled the vet appointment and we're going to get someone to come around to our house.
Oh, goodness.
And
be emotional.
It will be emotional. We'll all gather around, give Teddy a final meal. What's
How
that?
The kids?
They've been crying and stuff, but you know.
Yeah.
But again, we're celebrating the life of Teddy.
And how are you going to? So that's a, that might be a question to ask folks. How do people celebrate at these times, at these tough times when pets do pass?
Yes.
How have you commemorated your pet? I know a guy that's got his dog's birth date tattooed on his wrist.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, do we cremate Teddy or do we bury Teddy in the backyard?
Wow.
That's the kind of done thing. I'd love to, yeah.
I think it's more cremation now, but are there people listening to us who have animals buried in their backyards?
Okay. So 131060, we'll give you $50 Swish cash. 131060, pets, how do you celebrate their life? A little memorial service. What do you do? And do you have you got them still with you in the backyard? Or have you had them perhaps cremated? Let us know.
You might have their ashes in an urn on the mantelpiece.
Taxidermied.
Well, that is an option.
Yep.
What's taxidermied? Well, is that like
stuffed.
When they put...
So you can see them. It looks like they're real. Look, yeah, we could look at Teddy. Yeah, he could be... We've got him. We've certainly had photographs taken. I don't know if we would do that. We could possibly do that. Better. If people have done it and they think it's good, maybe we'll think about it.
Hughesy, Ed and Erin.
So, yeah, sad day for the Hughes family. Teddy, our first pet, our cat. We rescued him as a young cat in the start of 2007 and had him ever since. And but today is, it's the last day for him.
It's the
And look, Ed and I obviously aren't really animal people in that we just don't have pets, but we know for so many people this is really emotional to listen to because they are a member of your family. So
yeah,
we feel very sad for you. We feel we're really upset for you.
Teddy's had the run of our house for all that time and, you know, he just wherever Teddy wants to go, he goes and has through the cat door, through the cat flap and just he's eaten his way through the last 16 years.
Great time.
And enjoyed himself. And sometimes he'd take off for 2 or 3 days. Where is he? And then he'd just turn up. Here I am. Yep, I had a holiday. I'm back. Sleep on the bed when he wants to. Scratch you when he wants to. Bite you when he wants to.
Yep.
Just do whatever he wants.
It's a great, great life. So what to do to commemorate and celebrate the life? Well, Angela from the Oaks.
Good morning.
Hello there. Now, how many pets have you had sadly pass recently?
Six,
okay.
Aww. Yeah. So 5 in the last 4 years.
It's tough. It's tough every time, isn't it, Angela?
It kills you. So my deepest condolences, but, you know, you're doing the right thing. I just lost my last 2 dogs 5 weeks ago. Bella was 18 years old,
yep.
And Abby was 13. She actually passed away on her 13th birthday. She went into heart failure. I'm a nurse, so
yeah.
She went into heart failure. The 18-year-old had dementia, and she was blind. But Abby looked after her, and then Abby went into full-on heart failure.
Oh.
And I rang my vet and said, "It's time." And he come to my home, and put them both to sleep together. So in my arms.
Yeah.
I was in their home again. I put Charlie down the same way and Oscar, my golden retriever, but at home where they were comfortable and they're all cremated. Bella and Abby, I knew it was their last year with me. I pretty much knew they wouldn't make Christmas. So they had big birthday parties. They were both had parties in September, photo shoots, everything. So I celebrated them.
Yeah.
And in my will, it's all their ashes are to be buried with my ashes.
That is
Well, there you go. That is commemoration right there. There's 6 urns in a cabinet, Angela.
They love their animals.
They certainly do. So there you have it.
Can we come back after the news? Because Sarah's got a story that I need to hear about.
Yes, please. And what
do you Ed, just before, do they know, do you think? Like the with animals, do you reckon they have a sense that their time is coming?
You know what? The affection that Teddy has shown me over the last few weeks was unusual. Like, Teddy normally kept to himself as an older cat and he doesn't suffer fools at all. But over the last couple of weeks, Teddy has been, I'm sitting on the couch and he just looks up at me and meows and goes, "Pick me up. I'm too old and fat to get up there myself, but you need to pick me up." I pick him up and he goes, like he didn't want to be picked up, but he did want to be picked up. And then he would sit there with me on the couch and just, you know, he'd put fur all over me and just we'd have a good time.
That's lovely. How do you commemorate your pets? What did you do?
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
Now, it's a sad day for the Hughes household. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's Teddy, 16-year-old cat. We've loved him all for the past 16 years. We got him as a rescue when he was a kitten.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's had the run of our house. He's been the ruler of our house. He's done whatever he liked for all that time. He's shown affection when he wanted to. He's bitten us when he wanted to. He's just had a good time.
I'm just looking up our social media. For anyone who doesn't know Teddy, there's some beautiful photos. What a gorgeous white coat. In fact, some things, yeah, you might want to preserve that. It's a beautiful colour.
You're talking taxidermy?
Potentially.
Look, we've got a lot of callers and some of the stories are extraordinary, but who are we going to start
with? Well, let's start with Sarah from Oyster Bay. Sarah, was this a dog, was it?
It was a dog, our dog Lulu. We've had her for 16 years.
Yep, similar, yep, to Teddy.
Yeah,
yep.
Similar. Yeah, very similar story. But we also wanted to bury her in the backyard. And when we took her to the vet, obviously, she discussed what we wanted to do with her. And you're not just allowed to bury your dog or cat in the backyard. I'm not sure if it's to do with the size. She was a Border Collie Labrador. But she was like, you can't just go and bury your dog in the backyard. It has to be a certain depth. And I can't remember what it was, but I remember my husband balking at whatever the depth was.
No, it's a lot of digging, yeah?
Like, he was like, I feel like we'll hit rock. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you do dig and then hit rock and then you're like...
Yep.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
So we decided not to do that in the end. Yes.
So is there a dog, like a pet cemetery? That I know there's like a band or a song or something, isn't there? A movie pet movie cemetery. Pet but are there actually pet cemeteries?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, look, I don't think we're going to go to a pet cemetery. I think that's a correct use of land. But I'm not that.
What?
No, I think, yeah, look. I don't think there is pet cemeteries, is there?
Not to my knowledge. Thank you, Sarah. Now, Nick from Manly. Nick, what did you do to celebrate the life of your beloved pet?
I got a portrait tattooed on my thigh of her. Yeah, nice big portrait of her.
Yeah. What was her name, mate?
Her name was Karma. She was a Ridgeback. She was a beautiful dog.
Yeah. And how old was Karma when Karma passed?
She was 13.
Yeah.
And my condolences, Hughesy. Sorry for what you're going through, mate.
Yeah, no, thank you, mate. And did you cremate Karma or did you bury Karma? What did you do?
No, we're on an acre, so she's buried right at the back of our property. We've got a nice little shrine for her, so she's still with us. And we also we have her daughter as well. She had a litter of puppies, so we like to think she was still got a piece of her.
Nice.
Can I ask, you would have other pets as well. You've clearly got her daughters. Like, were they aware of what was going on towards the end of her days?
Her daughter definitely was. We've got chickens, cats and dogs and they all get on very strangely. But Chaos was definitely, or her daughter, sorry, was definitely quiet and she knew what was going on towards the end.
Yeah. So Chaos is still roaming around doing her thing. So,
Thank you, Nick. There is a pet cemetery, Berkshire Park. There's one in Berkshire Park.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, I think that's the only one. There's a couple of pet cemetery. Oh, there's another. And so, yeah, Berkshire Park. And there's a couple of cremation centres, North Parramatta and Yennora.
Well, I did not know there was pet cemeteries. And apologies to the
Thank
pet
you.
Cemetery.
Felt aggressive. Oh, no, not to me. Who suggested it, just to them. Yep.
To the pet cemetery. I'm sorry, Erin. No, I do apologise for snapping about the suggestion that we find a pet cemetery for Teddy. So, but I think we can still bury. I'm still on burying Teddy.
Well, we've
backyard.
Got a couple of other suggestions.
Hughie, Ed, and Erin.
So yes, it's the last day on Earth for our beautiful cat Teddy, who is 16 years old, and we took him to the vet the other day, and the vet said that he has an issue in his mouth, and it's time. He's been really affectionate the last couple of weeks, and I think maybe Teddy knew that his time was coming. Very sad, a lot of tears in our household.
Yeah.
But how do we celebrate Teddy's life? Do we?
So many wonderful ideas. People are really getting on board. Michelle from Narrabeen, you also had a 16-year-old cat.
Yes. So we got my kitty when I was 12. It was my very first cat that we that was mine.
Yeah.
And we put him to sleep when he was 16. He ended up with a cancer in his nose and it was really awful.
Yeah.
But what my mum did was get a little ceramic cat, like garden ornament. So it was almost about his size, like the little statuette things you see in the in the garden.
Yep.
And put his collar on it. And so every time I go back to mum's, and I'm 44 now, so it's been like 16, 17 years since he's passed. And every time I go back to mum's, little puss is in a different, he's either in a room or he's down in the living room or he's in the garden. And it makes me smile every time I go over because he's still there.
Gorgeous.
This, I mean,
that's really sweet.
Little puss will live forever through that.
So they move puss around. Your mum, moves it around.
It's really cute. Oh,
yeah.
Like and Elf on a Shelf kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And he's lived in four different houses since then.
Yeah.
So that's the downside with burying in the backyard. If you ever move, you're kind of leaving them too.
That
so
is true.
So we have him cremated, and so we've got his little ashes and the ashes of the other cats we've had since then. But, little puss still has his collar with his tag on it, and he takes out
mum. There you go. So I wonder if mum feels the pressure of Michelle turning up thinking, but no, she wouldn't. She'd still enjoy it. She would.
Get it out of the cupboard.
She would, absolutely.
So Fiona from Maryland's, we wanted to ask about possible taxidermy, and is this an ex-boyfriend of yours?
Yeah, so they came from a really wealthy racing horse breeding family.
Yeah.
And the first horse that he had as a teenager, when it passed away, they got it taxidermied like a statue.
Yep.
And it resides in their game room. And, he'll pat it, he'll talk to it, he'll be like, its name was Stardust. So he'll be like, what do you reckon, Stardust? Like, he's got like a dilemma or something. Like, it was bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, it must be a big games room to fit a full size horse in.
Super rich.
Can I ask, I mean, the smell, like, is it?
There'd be no smell.
Is there a smell?
No smell.
Do you let the shoes smell? No. Well, they do if you wear them too much,
sometimes.
Yeah, but that's because you're sweating
socks
them.
Particularly.
They're not sweating in Stardust. Stardust is just standing there proud.
Is he though? How do you know what your pet wants? That's the other thing that I struggle with. Like how, because with humans, we make a choice. Like you can sense whether your pet wants to become.
You know what? Teddy has just ruled that backyard like a warrior over many years. Teddy killed a lot of birds in that yard. Go into that yard at your own risk, birds, because Teddy, no matter his size, can still pounce. You know what I mean?
That's a nice way to look at it, actually, that often when things are awful, some people feel happy about them. And so you can derive joy from the fact that the local bird population will...
Native bird.
Feel...
No, not native.
Teddy. Native bird will feel somewhat
relieved.
Pigeons native?
Pigeons native?
No.
No.
So
bin chickens?
Nope.
No, they're a bit big for Teddy. But, you know, a pigeon, he can definitely do in a pigeon.
Yeah.
He's done in a number of pigeons over the years.
Happy memories.
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
I think Erin was rocked before when we had, was it Jenny?
Mm.
Was it Jenny?
Yeah. Jenny from Old Me.
Who said that she'd never, ever deceived someone in the kitchen.
No, she didn't.
She said that.
She
would never lie.
Before hearing the circumstances, it's circumstantial evidence. That's why the court requires context with every case.
Well,
there's background.
I don't think there's people don't lie in the kitchen, do they? They don't.
Well,
I didn't lie. I just didn't reveal something. There's a difference between telling a blatant lie and not volunteering certain information.
Your boyfriend, your bloke. Your current squeeze.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. I can say that. He thought you cooked him salmon.
I cooked him dinner. I cooked him the most delicious, creamy salmon pasta with dill and capers, and it was to die for.
Cooking salmon is a fine art.
Yeah, I know, and I nailed it. He made specific comment to the salmon, and he said it was cooked to perfection, and then his quote was, it's so easy to dry it out.
He's probably right now, you know, got a ring in his back pocket because of that salmon. He thought, if someone can do that to a salmon, that's a keeper.
Mm-hmm. See, the lengths I went, I feel ashamed.
So you went to the, how did you get the salmon? How did you get the salmon?
Because it sounds bad.
What did you do?
I got all the groceries, and then I on the Woolies app, I chose skinless, boneless salmon. And it came back with not available, not available, not available. Substitute, substitute, substitute. And I tried three different Woolies. And so I ordered the groceries. And then I ordered the salmon from a fish and chip shop.
And they delivered it.
Yes.
And you... So was there a knock on the door and you didn't tell your bloke?
Well, he was coming over a bit later and the salmon arrived with chips, of which I discarded very quickly. And Eliza and I broke up the salmon and put it in a glass thing and put alfoil over it, put it in the fridge. And I told him that I'd read that you should cook it before and let it set a bit in the...
That's lying.
It's not lying.
You went out of your way to tell him that you'd cooked it. You didn't
I tried to get the raw one to cook myself and it wasn't there.
It wasn't even a lie through omission, as in you didn't tell him that you didn't, you know, you didn't cook it. You actually told him you cooked it yourself.
I was going to tell him after the meal and then he specifically, for no reason, just made a comment and said it was cooked magnificently. It's easy to dry it out.
And that gave you an extra opportunity to come clean, and you never did.
No, that meant I couldn't come clean because I didn't want to hurt him. In fact, that's exactly why I didn't, because I knew that it would hurt him.
Has anyone done it? Has anyone else done it? With Christmas coming up, maybe people do it.
Well, wow. I put in, surely people buy those and take the wrapping off and pretend. Yes. Surely.
Do you lie in the kitchen?
I see lie is a strong word. Do you
deceive? Do you?
Oh my God, deceive's even worse. Do you?
You can't think of another word because there's no other word to use.
We've got the $50 Swish Cash looking to surprise someone this festive season. Give them a personalized video message from their favorite sports star on Swish. Book your video online today. That's Swish. $50 cash from them. 13-10-60 lines are open. Do you lie in the kitchen? Maybe you buy a couple of ingredients. Yeah. Just take the wrapping off.
Well, that succulent roast chicken that you pretended you cooked actually came from the local deli.
Yeah. Kitchen liars, where are you?
Susie, Ed and Erin.
So Erin has admitted that she's lying to her main squeeze. He's putting salmon in his mouth, thinking she's made the salmon and she hasn't.
No. You're saying lying like it's something I do, like it's complete habit or it's a repetitive behaviour. I cooked the rest of that whole pasta spaghetti dill caper salmon. All I did was get salmon that had been heated a little bit.
It came from a fish and chip shop and it was cooked completely.
It wasn't battered.
It came with chips. You're not going to get chips and raw salmon unless you're at a sushi shop. Would they do that?
Yeah.
Probably would, actually.
If you ask nicely.
That'd be good.
Kitchen lies.
To get rid of the smell under the candle.
Kitchen lies are everywhere. They're in Oakville. Mel, do you lie about the kitchen?
I don't, but my sisters do.
Yeah, of course they do.
They have me always cooking them food and they'll send it to work, such as like slices, and say that they did it. Or my sisters even had me cook a lasagna, take it to her house in a Pyrex dish, met me at the door, shooed me away and told her boyfriend she'd cooked it.
That's what I'm talking about.
So she's getting sweet love that you deserve, you know?
Yep, and she kept my dish.
Yeah. Well, they say the way to a man's heart through his stomach.
Yeah, is she still with that partner? Like, did it help her?
Yeah.
Of course.
See, exactly. It's worth it.
I know that, but you now, you know, the fish and chip shop's doing it for you. And, you know, your partner doesn't know that he'd probably prefer to be pashing, you know, that bloke behind the deep fryer. Because he's the bloke getting the job done, isn't he?
Is he what? Maddie from Penrith, do you lie?
Absolutely. So apparently a good fruit cake is made by stewing the other dried fruit in brandy for like a month or 6 weeks or something on your bench. Yeah. I did it a couple of years ago and I made the fruit cake and it was just the most potent, disgusting thing ever. So Woolies home brand cake to the rescue. And it was such a hit that people ask me to make it every year now. And every year I have to put the dried fruit on the bench in the brandy for weeks. Yeah. And people think that it's legit. And then Christmas Eve, go and buy the home brand fruitcake.
It's not shocking. It's actually renowned, I think, the Woolies home brand. Or maybe I think Aldi as well has an amazing one. But they do it.
What about all these other hardworking people who turn up at Christmas and they're jealous?
Mate, they're turning up without a dish, expecting you to have done everything. I say they deserve it. They are contributing to this.
Actually, you might have turned me around.
Hey, that's live out of food, everyone.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
Revelation in the news a couple of days ago, a woman said that when she was 34, she went out with Prince Harry. He was 21. He used to suck on lollipops and she used to call him baby. And that got us thinking, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it did. We wanted to know about some of our listeners and particularly older women, if they'd had any dalliances with younger men. But we heard from a younger man who had this dalliance with an older woman.
I was 20 and she was 38.
Where did you meet her, Blake?
Well, that's the good part. I met her at my best mate's house. She was my best mate's mum's friend.
We just had a sense that Blake was hot stuff. And we ended up getting Blake to come into the studio yesterday, and we were right.
Oh, yeah.
Blake was universally acknowledged as a real, real catch.
Oh, yeah.
And can we speak to Blake right now before we talk to his date and then his mum? Mm. Blake, how are you enjoying life?
Life has been great the last 24 hours, guys. It's good to be back.
Yeah, so.
Hey, Blake. Yeah, you seem to have really embraced your newfound fame.
Look, it's been, the response has been amazing. My friends have gotten around it. They're very excited for this date.
Yeah, well, we're all excited for the date. So you had a number of women ring yesterday. You've got to be over 35, and women in their 40s really came for Blake in a big way. And we ended up, you were spoiled for choice, but ended up, we think making a wise choice. Yeah. Jenny, a 46-year-old flight attendant, and we've organised a date for you two. But can we speak to Jenny right now?
Yes, good morning, Jenny.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Jenny. Wow. How do you feel? Are you a little bit nervous? I would be.
Yes, I'm very nervous. No. Very nervous.
No. No, Jenny, you're a beautiful woman, and we know you're in safe hands with Blake because we believe Blake is a very respectful young man.
Wonderful guy.
Yes.
So, and do you know why we're so sure and certain of that, Jenny?
Why is that? Tell me.
Because his mama raised him.
Yeah, now, Erin has had conversations with Blake's mum, but we don't know the content of those conversations. And we're about to speak to Blake's mum.
You're about
to speak to Blake's mum.
Oh, right. Okay, great. Meet the parents.
It's meet the parents. Ali, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. It's a bit weird, but fantastic to be with you.
Hi, Ali. First of all, you must be so proud of your son.
Look, it might seem strange that I am, but look, the kid is, like you guys said yesterday and today, yes, I'm biased, but he's an incredible, gorgeous soul and very respectful. And, you know, yesterday, Erin, when you said something on air, which really struck me because it took me back for a second, you said, oh, I'd love to be his mum. And I was sitting there in the car listening and I went, oh, shit. I'm the mum that gets to be my friend. And I'm the only one who gets that. And he is awesome. Yes. So, yeah, we just want to check up on Jenny because, yeah, she's got some gold there.
Oh, yeah, goodness. She does have some gold. But Ali, so, and what about the, Ali, we believe you've just turned 50. Is that right, Ali?
I am 50. So, yeah, do the numbers.
So, Jenny is 46. So, she's a lot closer to your age than she's Blake's.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
So, Ellie, do you want to say hi to Jenny? And you might have a question or two for me?
I do. Hi, Jenny, first of
all. Hi, Ellie. How are you?
I'm great. I'm not surprised that you rang up for Blake. Thank you, first of all. I've got a question for you. So this came up last night. We were having a family dinner. We're very excited for Blake's date and we were talking about it. And Blake's lucky enough to have four parents, my partner and I, and his dad's partner and his dad. And we were wondering, like, we're sitting at family dinner, which we do because we're a close unit. How would you go, like, at family dinner when you're kind of the same age as us? How would that go for you?
Oh, that would be even better, I think.
Yeah.
A few bottles of wine, a few gins, I think it'll be fine.
And I've got a follow-up question to that. Blake's always mentioned to me he's going to look after me in old age. So are you in on that?
I am. And look, my sons will join in on that. I'm a mother of boys. They'll help out too. They'll look after all of us.
It's going to be really sexy for blended. Blake.
I think we can tell that Jenny and Ali are going to get along like a house on fire.
Yeah, so. Maybe I need to come on this day.
No, I don't think Ali is allowed. Blake, can your mum come on the date? What do you say about that, Blake? Blake, would you allow your mum to come on the date?
Would I allow it? Sure. Do I want her to? No.
Second date. Second date family Christmas.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
An incredible television event tonight.
Absolutely. It is 6:30. It's Channel 10. It is the end of an era, a glorious era. It is Carrie Bickmore's last show on the project. Wow. Carrie, how are you feeling today? You're hours away from... Is it what's the feeling, Carrie?
Is it era or era?
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing, but I didn't want to ruin the moment, so I'm so glad you brought it up. I would have said era.
The other conversation we've been having, Tommy and I, is it orator?
I don't even know what that is either.
You're someone that speaks for, you know,
an orator.
Like,
it's an orator.
Yeah, orator.
I don't know. Well,
it's certainly not what any of us are.
I feel like Carrie is. Are you trying to deny your own feelings? I mean, I know
I'm not, Hughie. I reckon I've been in denial for a good 2 months now. But yesterday, I had to go into the news booth to read a script, and the script was about how the world's changed over the last 13 years, and they're going to air it on the show tonight. You know, when we do the big sort of final show, and it was all just news events, and it got to the end and it was like, you know, through the triumphs and the tribulations, through the highs and the lows, it's been an absolute privilege. And I was like, oh God, I'm on my own sobbing in a booth.
But you know what, fair enough. It's been a long time. Now, we started the project back in 2009.
I know.
It was me, you and Charlie, Ruby Rose and James Matheson were there as well.
What a motley crew.
But what did I say to you on the after the first episode? Yep. What did
you
I say?
Well, that's my career done.
I said, I've ruined my career.
Wow.
How accurate you were.
Wow.
It is incredible that long in television, Carrie, and we only need to look at the newspaper every day to see headlines of who's been sacked, who's rumoured to be sacked, who'll be sacked next. Like to last in one role for that long and to do it and be at the top of your game and leave on your own terms is pretty incredible. How does it make you feel?
It's interesting because I had to shut out the noise a long time ago. I remember when Hughie and Charlie left, and they left at different times. But I remember doing, you know, interviews with journos, and they'd always be like, well, don't you have something else you want to go on and do? And it was almost an accusation that it was weird that I'd want to stay doing something. And I remember just thinking, what are you talking about? This job suits me perfectly. It's the, you know, one of the best jobs in the world. I get to do all the things that I love to do, interviews. I get to laugh. I get to, you know, share the news, share my thoughts on the world. And I found it baffling that, I could see why the guys were moving on, but baffling that it would be seen as a negative to be in a job for a long period of time. And I would be on that job on that desk till I was 80, if I was honest with you, because I absolutely love it. But I always said I wanted to leave while I still enjoyed it, and I still love the job. And so I just want to go now while I'm still loving it, not while I'm hating it.
But it is an amazing opportunity. But for me, back in the day, I left after like almost 5 years because it is a full-on job. And I can just say, and I know Charlie thinks the same, but it's an all-encompassing job. And for Carrie to be able to continue and deliver day after day, year after year, is incredible. And for
but
you,
but I
to...
think Hughie, the honest reality is, you know, I started with one kid. I've now got three. You know, a 3-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 15-year-old. And it's hard. Like it's hard to manage. It's the time of night, particularly. Like everyone, you know, mums all over the world work. You know, that's not the issue. It's the fact that it's the time of the night. Every night, it's a nightly show. And over the years, I've reduced my days. Only, you know, there's only so many days I can reduce it to before I'm no longer there. You know what I mean?
Once a fortnight, I'll see you then.
I was trying to make it sort of possible to keep having, you know, keep thinking all the balls in the air, and you know, and it's tolled on my family, and I'm aware that, you know, that the challenge it's been for them, but it's also brought us amazing opportunity as a family, and the stuff we've done together and the adventures we've been on as a result of the show, I will forever be thankful for. So you know, it's honestly, it's really bittersweet. It's really bittersweet, but I still think one of the highlights
for me in my entire time on that desk was you, Charlie, and I on the boat with Brad Pitt and his kid on the Sydney Harbour. That was epic.
Yeah, well, I think we might see a bit of that tonight. I'm going to turn up tonight, Charlie's as well. There's going to be a cast of thousands, 6:30, Channel 10, watch and celebrate an epic journey that Carrie Bickmore took.
Carrie, I know that you've just re-signed with radio right here, which is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're far too pretty just to be on radio. When will we see you on TV again?
Well, ACA's gone, so that rumor can be put to bed. No, I honestly, and no one believes me when I say this, I have nothing lined up yet. I've had some amazing opportunities come my way, and I've said no to all of them because I want to take some time to work out what I want to do next. I genuinely, I'm just looking forward to summer. So I've got nothing lined up.
Chill out. She's going to have some time off the makeup chair. She's going to hang out with the family. She's going to bang on the radio. But tonight, don't miss it.
Well, it's nonstop Carrie from 3. From 3 o'clock, it's Carrie and Tommy on the radio. And then, bang, straight over to the telly to watch the project's grand Carrie finale.
Susie, Ed and Erin.